Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com to grow your own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Jalapeno's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, folks, it is 1:05 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 103 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 20% humidity. I have some interesting propaganda articles lined up for today, but I want to take a second to plead to those hearing my voice to unite under our Bill of Rights. We have no better tool in our employ. Your color, creed, sex, religion, it matters not. It's time to come together, folks.
Calling all the clans together. Calling all the clans together. Calling all the clans together. Brothers come a-running. Calling south and north together, calling west and east together, calling all the clan together, brother come brother. Can't afford to be a bit of sleeping. Can't afford to be a bit of sleeping. Can't you see the reaper reaping? Brothers come a running. Never mind the shells are flying. Never mind the dead and dying. Can't you hear the piper piping? Brother come a running. Come a running fast. Come a running hard. Running for all you worth. Come a-running through the gates of hell itself and let the devil take the hindmost.
We're gonna be
calling all the clan together. Calling all the clan together.
Calling all the clan together.
Brothers come running.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by July 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is July 31st.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
All right, folks, so I lined up a bunch of articles today. I could probably read the entire hour and not even get through all of them. But if at any point you want to call in and come on up, interrupt me. There's a little bit of a delay, so you might need to, you know, really speak up and speak a little bit longer before I can hear you. But there's one article I definitely want to get started with. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by yours truly. It's coming out of The Guardian, so right out of the mainstream media, folks. It's titled, Iran Nuclear Deal Must Be Allowed to Thrive. Now, I found this by going to Google and searching Samson option, which is basically when the state of Israel and the Jewish agenda fails, they want to nuke the whole planet. That's what the Samson option is. So we're going to hear some mainstream officials, you know, like the type of people that the mainstream media pushes in your face all the time. We're going to hear some of their words. And now what's even more interesting is this is in a section of the website titled Letters. So apparently these two gentlemen were about to hear some quotes from sent letters into The Guardian or some other institution that brought it to The Guardian. So here we go. T. Douglas Riley draws on his experience with the International Atomic Energy Agency to praise the Iran nuclear deal, while David Gleason wonders why Tehran is so often cast as the villain on the world stage. Let me scroll down. Okay. The Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA, also known as the Iran nuclear deal, is excellent. It is a far better and more extensive than I ever expected. If followed by all parties, it blocks all avenues for Iran to develop nuclear explosives. To be sure, it is vehemently opposed by Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu and Republicans in Congress. I am a physicist who worked in nuclear safeguards and non-proliferation for 38 years at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. The majority of my efforts were for and with the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, that has the responsibility of inspecting the nuclear facilities of states signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT. Among other things, I developed programs that have been part of the international IAEA inspectors training since 1980. I've trained many of the inspectors who inspect Iran today, and I have inspected Iran's facilities since it signed and ratified the NPT shortly after it came into force in 1970. There are only three nations that have not signed the NPT: India, Israel, and Pakistan. All three have large nuclear arsenals and effective delivery capabilities. Israel has over 400 nuclear weapons of all types and the ability to deliver them anywhere in the world, including the U.S. Israel also has a policy known as the Samson option that implies it will destroy the world if it ever feels in danger of failing. Dr. T. Douglas Riley, Los Alamos, New Mexico, USA. Okay, so now we're going to read the words of David Gleason, and he's bringing up somebody named, and this is kind of a funny name, Ali Akbar Salis, or Sali. And before we read, we're going to see who this gentleman is. And I'm sure I'm not pronouncing his name correctly. Ali Akbar Salis is an Iranian academic diplomat and the head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran. He served as the head of the AEOI from 2009 to 2010 and was appointed to the post for a second time on the 16th of August, 2013. So now let's go back. Ali Akbar Salih's piece was calm, reasoned argument for the JCPOA to be allowed to thrive despite the expected noises from Trump and his ilk. Why is Iran so often seen as the enemy? The country is stable and calm, much to the annoyance of its detractors, has regular elections, and the Iranian people deem worthwhile of participating in. Saudi Arabia, on the other hand, and then it goes dot, 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 and that's David Gleason from London. Okay, now this second article, anybody want to come up real quick and make a comment? Okay, now this second article I found on National Public Radio. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by yours truly. It's titled, Why Are Undocumented Immigrants Smuggled by Truck? Now, there's an audio that I can cue up from it, which actually is different from the article and has a little bit more information. So I'm going to go ahead and play this audio real quick.
12 people are still hospitalized after being found on Sunday in a sweltering tractor trailer in a Walmart parking lot in San Antonio. They'd been transported there from Laredo, Texas. A total of 10 immigrants have died because of conditions in that truck. And the deaths have highlighted the smuggling of immigrants by truck within the United States. Mose Bushell of member station KUT in Austin has been reporting on this practice. And Mose, some of the migrants in this truck reported being picked up on the U.S. side of the border to be brought further into the country. Why transport people in the back of a tractor trailer after the immigrants have already crossed the border into the U.S.?
And my question would be, why isn't the Border Patrol on the border stopping these immigrants from crossing over to the U.S.? Let's continue.
Okay, so here's the context. What we have here in Texas are effectively two borders. There's the border that people need to cross into the United States along the Rio Grande. But then there's a second border, checkpoints that have been maintained for years by Border Patrol that are within U.S. territory. And in recent years, as enforcement has ramped up, those border crossings, or those checkpoint crossings, I should say, have become harder to overcome.
Okay. So we're not stopping these people at the border, but then we have illegal, unconstitutional checkpoints 100 miles north of the border that are being, that they're claiming are harder to overcome. You know, there's a lot of backcountry roads stretching all over the place, so it's not like once you identify one of these checkpoints, you can't get around it. So let's continue.
Now, the fact that some of these people were picked up on the U.S. side to be brought past those checkpoints further into the United States actually surprised one person I spoke with, Guadalupe Correa Cabrera. She's a government professor at UT Rio Grande Valley. She had this to say about it.
And now this woman can barely speak English, so you got to wonder how she got this position.
People are perceiving that they have to pass two crossings. They have to cross the river, they have to cross the border, and they have to cross a checkpoint. So this probably has increased incentives for smugglers to operate in different ways and on different sides of the border.
And she says that this use of truck might increase as smugglers try to move more people all together at the same time.
So how does this work?
So in this case, some of the people reported being picked up from a kind of a safe house on the U.S. side. In some other cases, people actually report getting in a truck on the Mexican side and crossing over. And then it's just a question of getting on a highway and driving. There are trucks all over the place in the U.S.-Mexico border, you know, obviously a busy trade route. So you're kind of invisible once you're inside one of these things, and you can put a lot of distance between yourself and the border once you're inside.
And how common is this practice thought to be?
Not as common as other more traditional ways of getting across. You know, a lot of people probably still move in smaller groups or walk. Now, I was surprised to hear that some people actually perceive this as a safer option. And it actually costs more, according to some, to move in truck. I heard one person refer to it even as the VIP way of getting through, because it's perceived as safer. You don't have to deal with walking through the desert. You may avoid being stashed in various safe houses along the route. So this is a horrible, horrible story we're hearing out of San Antonio, but
yes,
some may actually believe this to be a safer option.
Yes, what happened in San Antonio obviously underscores that there are enormous risks associated with this kind of truck transport.
Absolutely, and this has happened before. In 2003, 19 people died in Victoria County, Texas, as a result of more or less the same thing. They were locked inside a tractor trailer, an abandoned truck, about 70 people, and 19 of them died. Now, border crossings were down in this last year. There were fewer crossings over recorded, and so that meant fewer deaths as well.
It's Mose Bushell of member station KUT in Austin. Thanks.
Thank you.
So then I'll bring it up again. Why are we running illegal, unconstitutional checkpoints up to 100 miles north of the border? Why are we not focusing our efforts on the border? How stupid do they take us for? So now we're going to jump over to another article. Actually, does anybody want to come up real quick? Going once, going twice, going three times. All right. Now we're going to go to a disgusting organization that I'm sure most of you guys are familiar with, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay. This article is posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by yours truly. It is titled Southeast Immigrant Freedom Initiative. Okay. The Southeast Immigrant Freedom Initiative provides pro bono legal representation to immigrants detained in the southeastern United States. Okay, so let's get into the body of the article. The Southeast Immigrant Freedom Initiative, SIFI, provided pro bono legal representation to immigrants detained in the southeastern United States by ensuring that skilled attorneys are available at no charge to protect the due process rights of detained immigrants. SIFI endeavors to win every meritorious deportation defense case arising out of recent and anticipated immigration enforcement actions. All I hear is, as far as Trump, is a bunch of bullshit propaganda. I do not see any enforcement actions going on. They would be at the damn border doing their job, and they would be rounding these people up in whatever way it takes to get them done and kicking them back over the border. And I don't see any of that happening. So they're full of shit on that front. The project is led by the Southern Poverty Law Center. It will begin at the Stewart Detention Center in Lumpkin, Georgia, in collaboration with the American Immigration Lawyers Association, the American Immigration Council, the Innovation Law Lab, and the American Immigration Representation Project. It will then be expanded to other immigrant detention centers throughout the Southeast. Okay. The draconian immigration enforcement, long practiced in the U.S., and I'm going to call bullshit on that, since when have we had draconian immigration enforcement? I'm not sure that's ever been the case. Okay. Long practice in the U.S. is being ramped up by the Trump administration, driven not by facts, but by the rhetoric of hate and fear. Now, these people are just playing the whole divide and conquer thing, the problem, reaction, solution thing. They're completely full of shit. The SPLC and Trump are probably going to the same dinners together and holding each other's rump or something. Immigrants caught up in the dragnet deserve fair and humane treatment. They have a right to due process under the U.S. Constitution. Since when? We don't even get due process under the U.S. Constitution, but we're going to give them to immigrants, and the SPLC is going to make sure they get it for free, apparently. But their rights are frequently denied in an enforcement regime that lacks transparency and is characterized by racial profiling and illegal searches, surveillance, and arrests. Many immigrants split from their families are detained indefinitely in geographically isolated facilities. Some operated for profit by private corporations and live under cruel conditions with no trial, conviction, or ability to post bond. So Arizona's full of private prisons, and you don't have to be an immigrant to go to them, and some of them are out in the middle of nowhere. So, I mean, what's the difference? We're treating American nationals the same way. We'll continue. Nearly all of these detained immigrants lack attorney representation, often because they lack resources. When they have no attorney during immigration court proceedings, the court's desire for expediency and at times the judge's ideology take precedence over fundamental rights. Well, isn't that what's happening in the Bundy trial? The fact that somebody's getting 68 years? That sounds like the judge's ideology is taking precedence over fundamental rights. If you didn't break nothing, if you didn't steal nothing, if you didn't harm somebody, if you didn't defame somebody's character, if you didn't plagiarize, there's really no damn crime now, is there? Definitely not one deserved of 68 years, a death sentence. We'll continue. In fact, detained immigrants who do have counsel are 10 times as likely to succeed in their case as those who represent themselves. Many unrepresented immigrants seek asylum because of persecution in their home country. For them, having an attorney and winning their cases are a matter of life and death. And I'll say it to these, if there's anybody in a foreign country that hears my voice, follow our example. Take your country back. Get the arms and the ammunition. Start making the associations. Start getting a little bit tougher. You know, we need this whole world to be free for everything to work out. Okay? And if we can get it going and we can make an example for the world, that's the right thing. Y'all need to pick up the slack on your end. Don't be a peasant. Don't be a coolie. You can do better than that. By providing pro bono attorneys to all detained immigrants in the Southeast, the SIFI not only ensures that due process is protected, but holds law enforcement, immigration prosecutors, and judges and detention facility personnel accountable for their actions. Many of the men and women and children in the detention are fleeing uncontrolled and escalating violence in their home countries. We'll put a stop to it, people. Grow some nuts. You're going to come up here and expect to just live comfortably? We got something similar going on here. It may be a different flavor, but go fix it in your own country. And when your country's fixed and our country's fixed, we'll trade back and forth and we'll take vacations and enjoy life. You got it? Others have been our neighbors, employees, fellow church members, or classmates, part of the fabric of our communities for years. Their lives, families, and futures are on the line. They must be afforded basic human rights, and we must protect our nation's most fundamental values. Yeah, okay, that's coming out of the SPLC. Now, I'm not going to continue reading down further, but they have this thing titled Frequently Asked Questions. And what it is it's asking for these lawyers to come to this area and participate in this project of theirs. They have three different phases and all that. So they're trying to make this happen. So again, that's coming from the disgusting institution called the Southern Poverty Law Center. So we only got a couple minutes before the break. Does anybody want to come up real quick?
Yeah. You were talking about this is Mark, by the way. I know a little bit about that 100-mile inland checkpoint. The one I'm thinking about is when you come out of Dallas and you go through I-10, you go north on the I-25, going up to Albuquerque, they've got one of those 100-mile checkpoints. And what's going on is a lot of NAFTA traffic coming up from Nogales. And what's happening is the drivers are changing trailers way inland. In other words, I'll pick up a container in Nogales that's already been looked at, and then that driver will meet another driver, and they'll change trailers and go their way. So they want to catch that guy because they're changing trailers 50 to 100 miles inland. I was talking to one. I asked that same question. I asked them, why are you so far inland? Because, you know, it's a big pain in the ass for me to have to go through that checkpoint. Because, you know, I've already been checked in Nogales. Then they're going to check me again, you know, in New Mexico. And I asked them, why are you doing this? It's a pain in my ass, you know. And they said, well, because drivers are changing trailers. And those 100-mile checkpoints have real powerful X-ray equipment that they don't have down at the border. I mean, I'm talking real powerful. When they make the truck go through it real slow, and they can see everything inside that truck, even inside the boxes that's inside the truck. So I don't know why they don't do that at the border, but they do that 100 miles in anyway.
So
that's a little insight of what's going on. And drivers are changing trailers, and they want to catch them. And that's part of the reason.
So what NPR is claiming here, that having the illegals in the back of the truck gives them cover, wouldn't be true if they're using this X-ray technology. Okay, we can pick back up on it after break. So here we go.
Day, Rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation. Triumphantly, won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by July 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is July 31st.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
Sleep.
It's Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. It is 1:40 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was the Celtic funeral song coming from Leah. And yesterday I forgot to announce the song that we played. That was What I Hate by Merle Haggard. So we got a drawing going on at From the Trenches. Mary, Flea, Norm, and Hal Apino are sponsoring a drawing for From the Trenches World Report. Mary has provided four prizes. The first drawing will be for a pair of Midland Talker two-way radios. The second drawing will be from our sponsor, Doom and Bloom, which will be for the Survival Medicine Handbook by Joseph and Amy Alton and a Luminade solar lantern. The third drawing will be for Curing the Incurable by Thomas E. Levy and Only by Blood and Suffering by Lavoie Finicum. The fourth drawing, also from our sponsor Doom and Bloom, will be for the Survival Medicine Handbook by Joseph and Amy Alton and a SWAT-T tourniquet. Flea has provided a sun oven for our fifth drawing. Norm has provided a set of M1 Grand Receiver blueprints rolled in a tube for the sixth drawing. Hal Apino has provided three prizes. The seventh drawing will be for a new Fulton MX-991/U anglehead military flashlight military issue. The eighth drawing will be for two new Alice LC-1 first aid/compass pouches. And the ninth drawing will be for six P938 can openers. Every dollar donated equals one entry in the drawing. All those who have donated since the last drawing are automatically entered unless specifically asked not to be. The drawing will be held Friday, July 28th, 2017, in the final segment of The Word from the Trenches. We extend our thanks to Mary, Flea, Norm, and Jalapeno for providing the prizes. All donations are needed and appreciated. Good luck to those who step up. Now, Mark, did you want to come back up and tell us more about your experience in trucking and how it relates to the border and the illegals and the checkpoints? Are you there still?
Well, yeah, sure, Dave. You know, Dave, the borders, as you well know, because you live down there, I go through Casa Grande and all that all the time. I'm in Arizona all the time, too. And, you know, the border is so ridiculous. It's so busy that it's almost, it's just almost impossible to check all the trucks, man. It's just ridiculous. I mean, when they opened up NAFTA, that just really screwed things up. They don't even check half the trucks. They just let them in. They don't even check them, man.
That would
be David.
Yeah, go ahead, Henry.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys what that checkpoints 100 miles north is about. That is the new border, my friends. You look south of that border from the municipal level to the state level, you will find 100% Mexicans. And you right there where you're at, David, you know there's a national park where they tell you not even to go in there because Zeta has it occupied. The bottom line is if we went to take that 100 miles back, guys, we would meet Mexican military. And that's my input, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Every one of those guys that operate that checkpoint are freaking Mexican. I mean, I think there's like one white guy there. I mean, you know, it's just Henry's right, man. It's little Mexico. That checkpoint's in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's 100 miles in. It's in the middle. It's nothing around it whatsoever. But just a real high-powered X-ray, a real big half-round tent where the trucks go in and get looked at. I mean, there's nothing there. It's White Sands, New Mexico, where they detonated the first nuclear bomb. That's the area that we're talking about where this checkpoint is. Anyway, it's all yours, Dave. Great show.
Well, thank you, sir. The only checkpoint I've driven through thus far was, what's the name of the town? It was in Texas, It's a border city. It's really run down. I don't know. It's the only one that I've been through. I hit it from both directions, and they just said, are you a citizen? I'm like, yeah, and they let me through. I probably would have given them more crap, but at that point I was like trying to move back and forth to Florida, and I had all my belongings on my truck, all my firearms, all my ammunition and all that, and I just kind of acquiesced and kept my mouth shut just so I could get through the stupid thing. But to me it doesn't make any logical sense whatsoever. Obviously, they're trying to create an invasion. They're trying to bring people up here that don't have an understanding or a historical reference of our nation, that haven't experienced the wealth of our nation and the freedoms that we still do have. And all of these freedoms, I'll point out, they come from our belief structures. We believe we have the First Amendment and the right to speak out. Therefore, we do. And the minute we stop believing that we can say what we're thinking and feeling is when we lose it. Words on paper are meaningless if you're not willing to act on them, if you're not willing to express them, if you're not willing to use them. So I think that's it's what's keeping the New World Order at bay. They haven't completely broken our spirit. They haven't completely dumbed us down yet. And if they were to just negate the Bill of Rights and just completely cancel it out, everybody would turn right to them and they would know exactly who the enemy is. You got a lot of propaganda. You got a lot of confusion. You got a lot of cowardice. You got a lot of spoiled people. And it's making this movement much harder. It's making, getting freedom or preserving freedom or growing freedom very difficult. But at the same time, this document, they just can't undo it, and they just can't make it disappear. At least not in a heartbeat, because it would make it very clear to us what exactly is going on. So it's almost like a bubble of protection. Now, do we have any other callers? I definitely got more articles to read, but I wouldn't mind taking the end of the show out just discussing anything. So if you're there, just feel free to come up. All right, so I got a science-related article, but I don't think we're going to have time to read it, so I'm going to skip over to something from the Anti-Defamation League, everybody's favorite. See, we're hitting both SPLC and ADL on the same day. Ain't that funny? Now, this relates to BDS. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by yours truly. The title is Jewish Voice for Peace, Increasing Anti-Israel Radicalism. Okay, let's scroll down. In recent months, Jewish Voice for Peace, the largest and most influential Jewish pro-BDS group in the United States, has taken increasingly radical positions and has employed questionable tactics in pursuit of its mission to diminish support for Israel. The following are some of ADL's main concerns with the group's ideology and tactics. Harassing LGBT groups. One of JVP's longtime tactics has been to allege that Israel's proud record of support for LGBTQ rights is merely a way of directing attention from its mistreatment of Palestinians. Recently, JVP has taken this tactic to the next level, targeting pro-Israel LGBT youth group with harassment at the Celebrate Israel parade in New York City on June 4th. According to reports, JVP members disrupted the LGBT contingent, cutting their microphones and blocking them from marching. JVP also supported the expulsion of the Jewish group A Wider Bridge from the Chicago Dyke March. Ain't that lovely? on the grounds that they carried rainbow flags, which resembled Israeli flags. I said fags. Oops. do we have a caller? Okay. Stating after the incident that Zionism is the equivalent of supporting racism and violence. Well, it kind of is in a way. If you just read the stuff coming out of their mouth or stuff coming out of their papers and read the words coming out of their lips. Shutting down dialogue. This is hilarious, especially consider the source. although JVP pays lip service to the importance of dialogue and discussion of the Israel-Palestinian conflict, in practice, JVP members have shouted down and interrupted campus speeches by guests who they consider to be Zionists. Celebrating Palestinians convicted of terrorism. In the zeal to condemn Israel at every opportunity, JVP has celebrated figures who have been convicted of engaging in terrorism, including Razmia Odea and Marwan Barghouti. JVP feted Odea and its 2017 conference, describing her as a feminist leader who has survived decades of Israeli and U.S. government persecution and oppression. In fact, Odia was sentenced to life in prison by an Israeli military court in 1970 for her membership in an illegal terrorist organization for planting the explosives used in two 1969 Jerusalem bombings. Well, who the hell knows what the truth of any of that is? I wouldn't trust anything coming out of the ADL. From my understanding, the ADL, and feel free to come up and correct me. From my understanding, the ADL got started defending a child molester who was able to win his court case, yet the townsfolk lynched him anyway. And if I'm wrong about that, come up and correct me. On June 2nd, JVP ran a paid advertisement in the Jewish newspaper, the forward, which featured an extended quote from Barghouti alleging that Israel has purposely inflicted suffering on Palestinians who are incarcerated in Israeli prisons. Well, that would that surprise you? They do it here. You know, we do this in America, so why would it be surprising? The Israelis are more ruthless. Bizarrely, JVP described Barghouti as the leader of a Palestinian prisoner hunger strike, omitting the fact that he is a terrorist convicted of murdering five Israelis. Undermining U.S.-Israel security cooperation. Yay. Like, that's something we need. JVP has ramped up efforts to break longstanding programs that allow members of the U.S. and Israeli police and defense communities to train together. I'm just going to reread that. JVP has ramped up efforts to break longstanding programs that allow members of the U.S. and Israeli police and defense communities to train together and share best practices for fighting terrorism. You mean like letting the dogs maul people? I'm almost seeing one of those videos every 2 days. Is that what they're going over to Israel to learn? How to let your dog maul a man sleeping in a park? Or like down in Florida, where the guy was on a bicycle without the headlight on his bicycle and the cop knocked him down and had the dog maul him? Is that the kind of shit that they're learning in Israel? Where the hell did I leave off?
Now the UK is going to train their police over there. I just saw an article.
Yeah, and I mean, wouldn't surprise me. Do you have any other thoughts, Katie?
Well, yeah, I did. I wanted to touch back on something you were talking about maybe 7 minutes or so ago, and that was me. I didn't realize I was not on mute, and you said it was anybody there. I was anyway. But yeah, I just wanted to touch back on you. You know, you mentioned the Bill of Rights, and you know how. You know, we need to believe that Bill of Rights. And, I mean, I would say that the Bill of Rights has been eviscerated. The only thing that is stopping them is that we still have our weapons intact. I mean, they have, you know, basically eviscerated that second article, but they don't physically have those arms yet.
I agree in part, but I also feel they haven't put the fear into us yet. Because we believe, I mean, the Bill of Rights is nothing but paper, but we believe we have the right to speak our minds. We believe that we have the right to express ourselves. They haven't scared us into silence yet. So,
correct.
It's a concept. It's a conceptual thing. And it's something that, because they can't just open, they can't just cancel it out. They can't just pull it out of the container that it's in and set it aflame, because we'd all know who exactly is to blame in that scenario. So we do learn it as children, and we continue hearing about it as we progress. And the enemy tries to use it against us in every step of the way. When it's convenient for them, they use it. So, you know, it's the whole point of exercising it. And I think there's a reason they probably put the freedom of speech first. We got to back up our speech with our guns. You know, if my door gets kicked in right now, I got a 12-gauge semi-automatic. It's about 5 feet from me, and I'm going to blow their fucking heads off. And then behind that, I'm getting the rifle, and I'm throwing on my load-bearing equipment, and I'm going to kill every motherfucker I can. You know, I'm going to peek out the corner of the damn windows, and I'm going to shoot them right in their fucking head. They can hide behind their Bearcats and all that stuff. I don't give a shit. And excuse my language, but we're talking about a life and death situation. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about the soul of this country. And you know what? I'm going to say this is for the whole world, too. You can follow our example. You don't have to be peasants. You don't have to be peons. You don't have to be coolies. I don't give a shit if you're in China. You can follow our example. You know, the best way to make any kind of change is to lead by example. So that's what we need to do as Americans. Anybody else have any thoughts real quick?
I agree.
Yeah, Dave, just real quick, you know, they want to light it off. They're going to take away the food. That'll come first, man. No food, no water. Then you're going to see all hell break loose.
I concur. You know, that's a definite possibility. Look what we got going on in Venezuela. That seems to be a clear pattern. Look at how they've destabilized nations all over the world. That's a big part of it. Food, water, very important. You're not going to march an army without food. Food has always been like gasoline for humanity. You want to have an empire, you got to grow food. So, I mean, that ties into one of our other broadcasters, Joe from the Carolinas. Learn to grow food, folks. Learn to hunt. Learn how to prepare stuff. Learn how to skin an animal. Learn how to gut an animal. You know, if you don't have these types of skill sets now, you know, you're going to have to find people to associate with that do. And knowledge is power, just like Sir Francis Bacon said. So if you can get the knowledge, you can get the skills, you can get the books, you can get the equipment, you're going to be in much better shape. Now, if it does cook off with them cutting off the food, you know, you might want to have to step sideways. You know, let's look at it this way. If it starts to go down like it is in Ukraine, which is going to take some serious divide and conquer, which I don't think they're able to get here. But if just, you know, hypothetically were to go down like it did in Ukraine, you're not going to be able to stay at your house because you're going to get shelled. You know, if you showed any leadership qualities whatsoever, they're going to go and try to assassinate you. So, yeah, learn to grow food, get your arms and ammunition, have your plans within plans, have your backup plans. Know how to hunt, know where the food sources are, know where the water sources are. And, you know, in the meantime, as you're gathering all this arms and equipment and knowledge and all that, we got to focus on waking people up. I got an article I was thinking about reading at some point, and these are kind of like sales tactics, but they can also be used when we're trying to wake people up on the street, and that might be something that I'll get into. I want to look into it a little bit deeper so I can flesh it out a little better. But anybody else have any final thoughts? Well, all right, folks. I appreciate everybody coming up today. It's a pleasure doing this show. I really enjoy it. I put a lot of research into it today so I could give you guys the best show. And tomorrow we're going to have Oy Vey Friday. We're going to have a little bit more fun just like last weekend. And we're going to tell jokes and have a good time. So until then, enjoy your afternoon. I'm David Matthew Rock.